Monday the 22nd of February, Ches Adar, Rabbi Leib Kellerman, Chinuch and Effective Tochocho.
Back in Parshas Truma, there are some very interesting psukim, and l'chora, a very odd mitzvah. Psukim say that, Sisa Shnayim Kruvim Zahav, Mikshita Seusam, Mishnei Ketzosa Kaporis, Vasei Kruv Echad Mikatsa Mizeh, Kruv Echad Mikatsa Mizeh, Minikaporis Tasus Akruvim Al Shnei Ketzosav. Vayakruvim Porsei Chanafayim Lamala Zochim B'chanfehem Al Kaporis Upneim Ish El Achiv El Kaporis Upnei Akruvim. So, there's no question, even somebody standing outside of the world of Torah would describe our dat as the most aniconic of religions. We hate physical representations of the divine. And yet here we have, immediately above the Aron, what looks exactly like a peso. We have these two golden creatures above our Aron. So the question I want to address is, what are they doing there? Why is it so important? Dafka above the Aron, Dafka above the Aron, we have these two golden creatures. We know that at Matan Torah, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu descended in the eyes of all the Klal Yisrael, he descended in his Merkava. Whatever that means, he descended in his Merkava. And we know that Klal Yisrael, when they witnessed the Merkava, they saw four creatures on the Merkava. They saw the image of an Adam, they saw the image of an Aryeh, a Shor, and a Nesher. When Klal Yisrael was Chote, with Chayta Egel, they Dafka selected as the creature that they were going to craft a shore. The shore was chashuv to them. Why? The Aryeh represents Midas Chesed. The shore represents Midas Hadin. And according to Ramban, they were terrified that if they had lost Moshe Rabbeinu, who could be mechaper for the Am, if the Am sinned, then Moshe Rabbeinu would suffer, but the Am would remain intact. Once they felt they had lost Moshe Rabbeinu, they thought he was not coming back, they wanted to create some sort of a lightning rod that would accept the bolt of Midas Adin if they misbehaved. And since the attribute of Din was being broadcast from this transmitter that was ashore, so the receiver had to be on the same frequency. And therefore they built ashore to be Mekabel Midas Adin. The Nechtam Eliyahu quotes a Zohar, Tikkuni Zohar, that says that the shore not only represents Midas Adin, but the shore also represents the Olam of Teva. The Olam of Teva. Midas Chesed, that's Lamailam in a Teva. So, what's happening here is that when a Kodesh Baruch Hu started being noeg with Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai, he started Har Sinai with a hanhoga of pure and adulterated din. With din is always associated with Iterusa de la Elo. That's why with the first Luchos, the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself carved the first Luchos. Because that's the Iterusa de la Elo that represents a Nisayon. And those Luchos represented, therefore, Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin was resting in the Aron, and whenever Klal Yisrael looked at that Aron, they understood what they were looking at was pure unadulterated Midas Hadin. However, something changed after Chetah Egel. Klal Yisrael could no longer survive at the Madrega of Midas Hadin. At Midas Hadin, they would have been destroyed. And therefore, starting immediately after the Chetah Egel, when the Shekhinah, which used to be found everywhere, according to the Sfarno, the Shekhinah was every place, after the Chetah Egel, the Shekhinah was mitzumtzam and was found only in the Mishkan. They were initially in the state of Gan Eden, they were expelled from Gan Eden with Chetah Egel, and they went back into a state where you couldn't access HaKadosh Baruch Hu other than directly through that Mishkan. And then, in place of the shore, which would have been Midas Hadin, which they could not survive with any longer, there was a new creature that was put there. What's that? The Gemara in Chagigah says, quoting Pesukim from Yecheskel, that Pnei Ashor is Pnei Hakruv. That the Kruvim and the Shor, they both represent the same attribute of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the same meat is being represented there. It's just that there's a transformation. Wow! The Pnei Ashor represents that attribute in its form of pure din. The Kruv represents that attribute after it's been converted and the person has gone down to a Madrega where they can no longer handle din and it's been transformed into Rachamim. This is the Gemara in Sukkah. The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Hei, says, my Kruv, Amar B'Yavahu. Kruv is Keravya. Shechem B'Bavel, Korn Li'inuka, Ravya. In Bavel, they called a child a Ravya. The Kruvim are like children. With children, pure unadulterated din is not a possibility. We can't relate to children that way. They can't handle it. And with children, what children need is they need rachamim. The definition of a child is someone who makes mistakes, and we love them anyways. And what the child really needs is not the slap, which could be misunderstood by a child. The child could then think that we hate them. What the child really needs is just an indication that the way that you're behaving, I approve of, or I don't approve of. And Lamaisa, according to the Gemara in Bava Basra, Tzadi Tes, that's exactly the service that the Kruvim performed. The Gemara there says, Kan Bisman Shisrael Osim Ritzono Shel Makom. The Rashbam says, what was Kan B'Makom Shosim Ritzono Shel Makom? The Rashbam says, Bisman Shosim Ritzono Shel Makom, when the Jews were behaving properly, Heim Chofchin Pneim Zelazeh. The Kruvim faced each other. Dugmat Chibat Zachar V'Nekeva Ovim Zelazeh. What was that? The Rashbam says, Simen Shekodesh Baruch Hu Ohev Es Yisrael. That was a sign that the Kodesh Baruch Hu loved the Jews. And when they were behaving beautifully, the Kruvim faced each other. However, Kishenosin, when the Jews were not doing the will of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hochim Pneim, right, Labais Al Yidei Nes. The Kruvim turned away from each other through a Nes, and that was Kodesh Baruch Hu doing what needs to be done for children, which is indicating that I don't approve of your behavior. I approve or I don't approve. That's the way that we relate to children. The slap of Midas Hadin, that was too much for Klal Yisrael after the Chetah Egel. Of course, the Gemara raises a kasha, which is the essential kasha that I want to address. And that is that when Klal Yisrael is doing the will of Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Kruvim face each other. And when Klal Yisrael is misbehaving, the Kruvim turn away from each other. So in Cain, then why was it, famous kasha, that at the Chorban, the Kruvim were locked in embrace? What was that? So, the answer seems to be that, at least in olden days, there were times when very severe tochcha was required, and Klal Yisrael could handle it. And when you ask a child, God forbid, no one should ever know, but when you ask a child to leave the home, that can't be a moment of kas. That has to be some sort of prescription That has to be something that's good for the child, but it can't be a moment when I'm expressing anger towards the child. And therefore, at that moment, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was divorcing himself from us, at that moment, Dafka, the Kruvim were locked in embrace to tell us that he loved us very, very, very much. And the only reason that this was necessary was because he loved us so much. That could also be the role that the Kruvim played in Gan Eden. It seems that each time that Klal Yisrael fell from that madrega of perfection, whether it was when they achieved eternal life at Har Sinai, they were immortal, they were never going to die, until Chet Egon they went back to this madrega of Tev again. Or in Gan Eden, when mankind was in a state of absolute perfection, and then mankind fell from that state. At that point, when we were divorced from our home in Gan Eden, so too, of course, we'll set up a kruv right outside Gan Eden. And the purpose of the kruv again was to tell us, I'm taking you out of Gan Eden. But you should know that I love you very, very, very much. The news is tough. The schools are tough. The streets are tough. Our homes don't have to be tough. There's enough roughness, there's enough harshness in the world for our children to learn from. They don't need to have the harshness coming from the Makor HaTorah as well. And at that moment, when the child does need tochacha, and we believe wholeheartedly in tochacha, tochacha like Rashi defines it. Rashi says three times, tochacha is birur dvarim, a clarification of reality. Letting a child know what the reality is. When a child needs a clarification of reality, at that point, the kruvim have to be absolutely locked in embrace. I was witness personally to a very interesting machlokas between two gedolei olam. It was a machlokas that broke out between Rav Shlomo Volba and Lahavdil ben Chaim L'Chaim, Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg. Rav Volba was very famous because he repeatedly, publicly, stated that generally it's inappropriate to hit a child. Generally it's inappropriate. And he said that you really can't hit a child after age 5. After age 5, he said, it's not shaykh to hit a child after age 5. The amount of damage that's done when the Makor HaTorah strikes the child in this door, he said, it's immeasurable. And he says, the disconnection that it causes from the Masorah is so terrible that we can't afford to engage in that sort of violence with children. Even though the Gemara itself says that it's good to hit children. And the Gemara in Mako says that if a child misbehaves, you should hit him, and if the child behaves well, you should find an excuse and hit him anyways. But Rav Volba said that he witnessed after the Chorban in Europe, human beings changed. And that a child over the age of 5, he couldn't handle that any longer without it doing damage to his relationship to Torah, because his parents represented Torah, represented HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it ended up causing a disconnection that was very, very dangerous down the line. He said around age 14 or 15, you would see that disconnection come out. Rav Volba used to say that parents would come to him crying, and they would say, my 14 or 15-year-old doesn't talk to me. I have no idea what's going on in his head. I don't understand why he doesn't share with me. And Rav Volba said he would say, tell me something. Did you hit this child? And the father would say, I had to be mechanachim. And Rav Volba would say, B'seder gemor, but now you're paying the cost of hitting the child. So Rav Volba was very outspoken. He was very criticized in many circles for his statement. But he said that he sees from his own experience that you can't hit children over the age of 5 anymore. Rav Scheinberg heard about Rav Volba's shita. And I personally spoke to Rav Scheinberg about it. Rav Scheinberg felt that this was ridiculous. He said that you can't hit a child over the age of 5. He doesn't know where a vulva got this. He says it's clear that you can't hit a child over the age of 3. And he said that below the age of 3, who would hit a child? So, Mimanashach, the way that it came out, was these two gedolim both felt that while tochcha, real tochcha l'fishitas Torah, is required, however, that sort of harshness of actually being violent with a child, that's inappropriate. My children are older now, and I asked one of my boys a few months ago, do you remember me giving you tochcha when you were a child? And my son said, oh yeah. So I said, what are you thinking of? What do you remember? And he said, I remember I was showing kas with members of the family. The child said that he himself was sometimes expressing kas towards his siblings. And he said, I remember that you said, you and I should go out for ice cream. And I remember the Maisa. I took this child and we went for a walk. And we walked down to, I live in Yerushalayim, we walked down to an ice cream store in Yerushalayim. And he described to me the whole scene, remembered it in great detail, how as we were walking, I said to him, you know, you have a tremendous koch for savlanus. A tremendous koch for savlanus. More of a koch for savlanus than perhaps anybody else in the family. Tremendous koch for savlanus. And I admire you so much for this koch of savlanus, and if you would like to develop this koch of savlanus, I could help you. I could give you exercises. You could become a guttle in savlanus. And he said, as we were walking, he knew exactly what he had done wrong. And knew exactly what I was saying to him, and he said, I'll take the exercise in savlanus. Now Lamai said, that child is now an adult. He's grown up, he's learning in the mirror in Yerushalayim. The child doesn't have a drop of kas left in him. There's no drop of kas left in that child. But imagine if I would have told that child, imagine what the effect would have been if I would have told that child that you're a bal kas and you can't be a bal kas and stop being a bal kas and don't be a bal kas. Can you imagine what I would have taught him? That you shouldn't be a bal kas, I tell him as I'm hitting him. The lesson here of the Kruvim is that when you're staring at Midas Hadin, that's the lupus. When you're staring at Midas Hadin, when a child really does something wrong and needs to be rebuked, it's that moment dafka when you have to hold the child's hand. And now I'll take it a step further. This doesn't just apply, obviously, to little children. Alachas kama v'kama, once a child is beyond age 14 or 15, then you have to be even more careful that the tochach is not given in a harsh way. When my first child got married, Rav Orlowick Shlita pulled me aside, and he said to me, I'm going to give you a great piece of advice. May you have the wisdom to stay out of your children's way. He said, a child who's 18, 19, 20, 21 years old cannot be grabbed by the collar and rebuked. You can't do that any longer. At that point, tocha mamish has to be the tocha of Rashi, the birur dvarim. It has to be that you interest the child so much in your Torah, your wisdom, and your insights, that your 20-year-old and 22-year-old and 24-year-old and 30-year-old come back to you and they ask you, Abba, what do you think about this issue? What do you think about this issue? That they're begging you for birur dvarim. And that's the whole soda tocha when people get older, is that you must open them up to the point where they want to hear what you have to say, where they're begging you for your opinion. At that point, with that sort of openness, then you can give them birur dvarim. But to grab an adult and let an adult have it, they're not going to be makabel from you. They will. In this generation, it just doesn't work anymore. I'll conclude with a bracha that I got from my Rebbe. He said to me, "May you be matzliach to set up signs of ava for your talmidim and for your children, like the kruvim, such that the child or the talmid will always know that you love them, and as a result of that, they'll beg you for true birudvarim." Good morning.